What's going on, everybody? I'd like to welcome y'all back to Sync Music Mondays. Every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Every Monday, y'all know what it is, financial literacy for your music. Music licensing in the coolest form. Basically, just paying it forward, man, showing love. Shout out to all the subscribers. Yo, real quick, we got to shout out the fact that we are charting in Ghana, Nigeria, Belize, and Canada as well. So shout out to all of y'all for tapping in. You know, we appreciate y'all, man. We do this for y'all, man, because, you know, we just want to pay it forward and see y'all shine. And y'all will shine, because I'm big on words. I'm intentional with my words. So I'm definitely going to speak life into everything that y'all doing, man. So big shout out to y'all. And as always, we're going to start off with the word of the day. And the word of the day is simple. It goes, there's always room for greatness, be great. I'll say that again. There's always room for greatness, be great. I mean, I think that's pretty straightforward. A lot of times, I think people get discouraged because their respective field might be very convoluted, might be a lot of people doing the same thing. So, you know, whether you're an MC, music producer, you might feel like, you know, damn, everybody's making beats, everybody's singing, everybody's rapping. But there's always room for greatness. You know, I love basketball. You know, I'm a sports head. I used to play ball. And at the end of the day, you know, if Kobe had the mentality that, well, you know, there's already a Michael Jordan, I'm not going to play, we never would have had a Kobe. You know, if Steph Curry would have thought, well, there was already LeBron James, I can't be great. There's always room for greatness. So, you know, don't doubt yourself. Always have the confidence to persevere. Keep doing what you do. And that is the word of the day. But today, we got a very special, dynamic, phenomenal guest on the show. This brother is talented. He's a boss. He's a music producer. He has had music placed in several outlets. I mean, he's consistent. He's persistent. It is no other than the homie, Da Fingus. What's up, Ken?
Yo, thank you for having me, man. That was the a great intro. I might need to snip that.
it's all good, man. It's all good, brother. We happy to have you on the show, man. And you know, we love highlighting and featuring talented, dynamic people in the music licensing space. So, you know, I kind of gave like a glossed overview of who you are. But, you know, for the people that might not be too familiar with you, you know, just tell them in your own words, who is Da Fingus?
Da Fingus, I'm a musician, but I used to play in church, Hammond organ and keyboard for forever, over 25 years, until the pandemic. And then pandemic hit, sort of got my way out to church and started focusing on, you know, sync, movie trailers. It's been an incredible journey, learning about it. And of course, finding your page, and just focusing on creating music, as opposed to, playing music that other people have created. And that's what I, enjoy doing. Like I said, been enjoying the journey so far.
That's fire. That's fire, man. I know you said you started out in church. You know, like what instrument did you play in church? Was it like piano? Like what was the vibe?
Piano, and Hammond organ. So, piano. And of course, you know, key synthesizers, things like that, but keys basically.
Cool. Dope, man. That's fire. And you know, do you find that like that helps you like in terms of like composing? Because you know, you got some people who, you know, they might just be like beat makers per se. So, you know, they'll just, you know, they got the MP, whatever, they'll hammer it out. Do you find that you kind of have like an advantage because you are a musician at heart, so you could kind of have a different ear for what you're doing?
It helps because this was, you know, every Sunday, and you have, you know, some great singers come from the church, and of course some great musicians. So we at least had drums and bass. Sometimes we had horns. Sometimes we had electric guitar. And you know, just collaborating in that is like almost like a gig, like a touring gig, but every Sunday, plus you got the rehearsals throughout the week. So you're learning the discipline of learning the songs and then assisting with teaching the choir the songs and then doing your own arrangements of the songs if needed. So in a way, there is some creativity there, but it's all based on learning those songs. But having that, being able to talk music is like a language. You don't necessarily need to, you know, when you visit a foreign country, you don't have to speak that language to make it through the country, but it helps. So being able to speak music is definitely helpful and have that, like, you know, if you're in a jamming with a band and like we're in C minor, to be able to be like, oh, okay, I know what that is. And just pick it up. It does help.
That's fire. Yeah, that's fire, man. It definitely helps, man. You know, like, you know, I got a band over in Italy, but then I also have producers in Brooklyn as well. Shout out to Silk Beats. And they are like musicians. So, you know, I know the difference between like somebody who actually plays the harp and they're a musician playing live bass, playing live piano, you know, as opposed to just kind of just doing it, because it brings a different feel. You know what I'm saying?
It's a different mentality when someone hears that you played in church. There's already something that's going through their mind. Like, whenever I talk to people, they're like, oh, that's, you know, you don't even gotta say no more. It's almost like they know, like, you know, when you say, yeah, I grew up in church, played in church, singers, you know, musicians, there's already a thing there, like a connotation there. It's like, oh, okay, I think my light just went out. This is live.
Yeah.
But there's already things going on in people's mind when they hear, oh, you play the church. I know you, you know, come on, sit into this, or come on, add some keys or whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah, that definitely makes a difference, man. Even like a lot of the musicians, like, you know, you could just tell like a musician that sings from their soul. I remember like growing up in Queens, man, my mom, like, you know, she was a public school teacher by profession for the New York City Board of Education, but she was also an evangelist. So I remember going to Pentecostal church and, you know, just hearing them soul singers, like they, you know, they singing from their soul. Like, you know, you just know people that just have that keen ear and that passion for it. Like, it just conveys through the music. You know, one thing I wanted to ask you, what in terms of like, you know, inspirations did you have growing up? Like, you know, what were the musicians that you listened to? Like, you know, whether that be soul, R&B, hip hop, like what musicians really influenced you like growing up?
In Virginia, just the Virginia vibe, the DC, Maryland, Virginia vibes. So there's sort of a couple answers to that, because my mom is a preacher, so in the church, you know, so hearing, you know, the Shirley Caesars, Richard Smallwood, Kirk Franklin, Ty Tribbett, Fred Hammond, you know, the gospel sort of influence. My dad is Jamaican and my brother's Jamaican, so hearing, you know, the Bob Marley, the Buju, and, you know, growing up, you know, the Wailers. And then in Virginia, I was and am inspired by, you know, the Binks, Knott's Raw, Timbaland, Pharrell, of course, you know, Missy Elliott, Teddy Riley, and then, you know, Go-Go, DC, you know, funk. So it's like all these different sounds that just locally that I was hearing, and then in my house that I was hearing, you know, my dad be playing, you know, on one floor it'd be reggae, and then on the other floor it'd be like Sunday morning gospel. So and then absorbing all that in.
Yeah. Nah, that's fire, man. And yo, big shout out to Fred Hammond, man. You know, my mom was like one of Fred's biggest fans, man. Like, I remember he had that record, No Weapon Formed Against Me Shall Prosper. When he dropped that, man, that was like the equivalent of Jay-Z hitting the streets with Reasonable Doubt. in the gospel world, that joint is going bananas. So yeah, big shout out to Fred, man. Yeah, a lot of talented musicians, man. So you had like a lot of, you know, you had a pretty eclectic blend of musical influences going for you, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, just all those different genres and voices.
Yeah, definitely, man. That's fire. So let me ask you something. So in terms of your first placement, can you tell us where was that and how'd you get it?
This is with Sync. It was, I didn't know it was Sync. This has had to be 10, 15 years ago. And it was a company that, I don't know if they found me, I found them. And they were like, just send us beats. And I think I sent them probably like 50, 100 beats. The beats sound terrible today. You know, next thing I know, I'm...
wait, pause that. Wait, you said... Wait, you said they sound terrible. So you comparing it to where you are now? You was like, nah, that wasn't it. Okay.
You know, with Sync, it's almost like they will use. If it works, it works. This was so a company that I think they were working with was it Bunny Murray and then a lot of the reality shows doing, you know, the real world road rules. So we're talking back MTV, back when people watched TV days, and I was getting placements on like Keeping Up with the Kardashians and things like that with just these beats, and that was it. I sent them like 50 beats, didn't think anything of it because I was playing in church, so I was like, I'm good playing in church and then just working. I do work full time, so I was like, I'm good, and didn't think much about it. Then the pandemic hit, and you know, up until then I was just getting BMI checks, you know, maybe $30-$40. When the pandemic hit, I was like, and you know, sort of left the church, I was going back into studying like music. So 2020, I actually entered over 200 music contests because there was gear that I wanted or software that I wanted, and I necessarily wasn't gonna, you know, pay for the, you know, $1,000 Hans Zimmer library, but I would find contests where I could win stuff or win money to buy the stuff I needed. So a lot of the gear and stuff that I have now are from contests. So 2020 was contest. 2021, I started studying sync. So the contest thing sort of shifted to sync licensing. And I joined a company called Hard Drive, HRDRV, if anyone was interested, feel free to let me know. And they were just starting a sync sort of side of their business. And like within a month, I got a placement on a couple of placements on BMF, 50 Cent Show on Stars. And I was like, okay, I can do this. And the reality check that I like to share with people is that got those placements within that month, but then after that, it wasn't for like another year or so for the next placement. But the first one happened so quickly, I was like, oh, okay, this is like, you know, easy. I've knocked them out. Like, and I was still, you know, sending out stuff to Breeze for that company. And they're great. And they've gotten a lot of placements. For me, it took a while for that next one to hit. So the first one was so fast. Usually people take a while for the first one to hit. But for me, the first one, you know, was so fast. I was like, okay, I keep this going. And then started learning more about, you know, linking up with multiple libraries and sort of spreading yourself across, almost like sort of like investing with your music, not putting everything in one basket, but just spreading them out across different libraries and opportunities. Technically first would be one of those like Keeping Up, you know, Kardashian, the real world, road rules. But getting back into it recently, the first one a couple years ago would be the BMF Stars.
Dope, that's fine, man. And you dropped a major gem, because a lot of times that's what artists want to know, is like, you know, what the real experience is like and like the outlet that helped you get that. So you said, what did you say it was, HRDRV or something like that?
HRDRV a Hard Drive, a great community, is actually a great community. They do more than sync. They have their own distribution that's way better than like DistroKid and TuneCore. We love DistroKid and TuneCore, but it's better than that. They do Zoom production sessions like every day, virtual production sessions. So there's a lot more to it, the sync side is one aspect of it also.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's awesome, man. Yeah, you know what? You know, that's a major gem, you know, so y'all, shout out to the Fingers. He just gave y'all a major key, you know, because a lot of times that's what musicians ask, like, you know, what outlets should they submit music to or try to distribute through that can help them. So I think that's major too. It's like a lot of times, you know, artists shouldn't have tunnel vision when it comes to a music distributor, because nowadays they can be so much more. You know, it doesn't just have to be, all right, they're distributing your music to Apple and Tidal. It's like, you know, some of these companies are legit able to place your music for you and get you some great looks and get you some money in the process. So, you know, I think sometimes to see the bigger picture and not just have tunnel vision to say, all right, well, this is the cheapest option to distribute my music, and then it does nothing else for you independent of distributing your music. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I think artists and the landscape nowadays being that there's so much information readily available, I think that, you know, it's good for artists to take advantage of that. And, you know, do your due diligence. Like I say all the time, knowledge is power. You know, research, research, research. You know, I call it, you know, in the business thing, because we own the same company, you know, it's R&D, research and development, like research and, you know, doing your due diligence, making sure you're staying on your toes so you know what agreements you're signing, who's distributing your music, you know, what outlets can get you the most impact, you know?
Yep, exactly. Yeah, you got to do that research.
Yeah, yeah, that's fire, man. That's fire. So let me ask you this as well, man. You know, in terms of like, you know, other placements that you're really proud of, like, can you name a couple that, you know, like you you know, you kind of like, you think back like, yo, that's what's up, man. My music is like in that show or that, you know, this outlet.
So this is going to be something that I never would have considered. And this is another thing that I'll share is how you can, I do work full time. I work at National Geographic, but I can't make music for National Geographic as an employee. So I can do it as a freelancer. When I started working there, my goal was to be like, I want to work with Beyonce, Drake, you know, Jay-Z in the studio. And I tell everyone I make music. And when I started working there, people from the television side were working on, this was probably a year or two when I started, they were working on a countdown show, and they came to me and said, hey, we're working on the best photos of the year, and we have the music for the show. We need the music for when the numbers go from like 10 to 9 or whatever. And I was like, yeah, okay, I'll see what I can do. It was like, you know, 10 second clips. So I came up with 30 ideas, and they accepted, like, it was close to the end when I was playing the back for them, but they accepted one of them. And that was sort of opening my eye to other opportunities other than just trying to be in the studio with, you know, artists, just creating music for other content. So that was sort of the first like placement there. And then working there, doing, being able to work on music for museum exhibits, which was big for me for about almost a decade before the pandemic. So museums, Smithsonian, National Geographic, and the latest one that I'm most proud of is having music at Disneyland. That launched January of this year as part of Disney 100th anniversary. I have music on an attraction called Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln, and that came from sort of my journey into trailer music and studying that, and an album I put out last year, a trailer album, got to the hands of some people that were working on updating this attraction, and they reached out, and I was like, yes, because my goal last year was to land a Disney trailer, you know, I haven't landed a trailer, but I'm not going to get mad because I haven't landed a Disney trailer, but it's like, I got music at the theme park, and we were at NAMM. I had my wife and kids out in California a couple weeks ago, and we were able to go see the, my music, hear my music on this attraction. So it was, I would say probably be, as of right now, most proud.